Today's title is Attempt Great Things for God. Good morning. Good morning, children. Oh, there's no children here. Good morning. Good morning, parents. Welcome. This morning, as a family worship, we worship together. Thank you. This is good chance to worship together, and it's so precious chance. If your children say something loudly, but don't care. If your children cry or loud, but don't care, please don't care, and worship together. Do you know Joseph? Please tell me, Joseph you may know Joseph, husband of Mary, but he is more Joseph is ancient time person, and he is he called as heel, and he is 11th of his brothers. He has 10 brothers, older brothers, and his father cherished him. He is most beloved son. So his brothers doesn't like him. And someday he said he dreamed sun and moon obeyed him, and nice timing, yeah. So his brothers very angry with him, got angry with him. Joseph went to see how they were doing. His father's, the brothers. Brothers tried to kill him. But instead of killing him, they threw him into a pit. In the end, he was sold as a slave to caravan. Now Joseph is very hurt. He was beloved son, but now he is in severe situation like that. He became Joseph, who was taken to Egypt and became a slave of a man named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So amazingly, whatever Joseph did there, he succeeded in it. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 through 3. Because God was with Joseph, Joseph became a successful man. Joseph was abandoned by his brothers and forcibly separated from his family. Yet God was with him. Next trial came upon Joseph. Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph and persistently tried to entice him, saying, "Lie with me." But look at verse 8 and 9. These are Joseph's words to his master's wife. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am. Now has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" However, again suffering came upon him because of false accusation of Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned He was imprisoned though innocent. As he, we read Joseph's life, perhaps we might have a question. Joseph lived faithfully before the Lord. Why then did his suffering deepen all the more? This is a very important point when he took at Joseph's life. The Bible clearly tells us the reason. The reason is written in Psalm 105, verse 17 through 22. Now let's look at Psalm chapter 105, verse 19. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Do you know that the red one in center of the picture? This is iron. Once heat the chunk of iron, then iron will melt, and they are heat the iron. To make it strong. Joseph was tested because he God refined him. When you face trial, God will you God refine you. God will refine you. Joseph became slave in Potiphar's house, then was cast into prison afterward. Then we read that he was finally released. But what is important is the word in between verse 19, because it clearly tells us the reason why Joseph suffered. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Later, when Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, called for Joseph and said, "I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it," Joseph replied, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace." Joseph firmly defined that the interpretation of dreams came from his own ability. He declared that it is God who gives the interpretation, and that he himself is only a tool of God. Indeed, Joseph was conscious that he himself was vessel of God, a tool in God's hands. But that was not all. Through suffering, while being refined, Joseph gradually came to understand what God was thinking, and that God was surely using him to accomplish his plan. Joseph was convinced that in his life there was surely the guidance of God, and that God had sent him to Egypt for his plan and was using him. God's plan was to give life to the descendants of Abram, and further to give life to all the people of the world, and Joseph truly became a person who lived for that mission. So, you live in God's plan. Each one of you are created differently, because you have to go some place God planned and work for him. God has dream. God has will. You will become someone who he dreamed. If you have dream, it is so great, and God has too. And please find your dream God gave you. And today, thank you for gathering here together, parents. Raising children is hard work and blessing. Joseph tells us not simple thing, something like, if you believe God, you will success in this world. You may not believe God still, but and you didn't know God well now. And we Christians believe that God create human. And we have purpose. There is God's intention in the fact that children were born into this world we believe. God needs children in this era, in this age, in this place, to you. God gave children to you. We have children here. We have the child here, and God has plan. Lord has given life to this child, and we want to turn our eyes to the truth that there is God's plan expected of this child. When Joseph's brothers heard Joseph telling his dream, they hated and envied him. But Genesis chapter 37 verse 11 says, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Father Jacob, though he felt arrogance in Joseph as he told his dreams and rebuked him, kept this matter in his heart, Joseph's act of telling the dream. We too tend to think that the things that happen before our eyes, the physical aspect of children, their grades, attitude, behaviors, are everything. However, like Father Jacob, we want to keep in our hearts God's plan that lies behind the words and the appearance of children. What is God expecting of this child? What meaning does this event have for this child in the sight of God? Let me share about my family. It was in 1996, about 30 years ago now. My parents had a calling for mission work in Japan, and our whole family was preparing to go to Japan. Sorry. Second point is about suffering. Children face various kinds of suffering and run into many wars. However, what we can learn from Joseph's life is the trial of suffering is not something contrary to God's plan, rather a process by which God's plan comes to fulfillment. Those very trials themselves served as a furnace that tested and refined the person and my family. The family visa was not immediately granted. In that situation, my parents decided to first go to Japan using tourist visas, and I was left in the care of my grandmother together with my older brothers, who was 2 years above me. It was when I was in the first grade of elementary school, the period became a very painful time for me. My grandma disliked me, and I suffered various kinds of ill treatment from her. Later, I came to understand that at that time my grandmother had dementia, and that she suffered from delusions, beliefs about theft, and had false perceptions. But back then, no one knew such a thing, and since the only adult in the house was my grandmother, it became difficult for me to stay at home in such an environment. When I came home from school, I would just leave my belongings at the house and spend the rest of the time outside until it became dark. The ones who helped me at that time were adults at the church. Fortunately, the church was close to my house. When I went to church, they talked with me, prayed for me, and gave me delicious snacks to eat. But the one who truly refused me were the Sunday school teachers and rescued me. Sunday school teachers truly rescued me. Every Sunday, in the worship of Sunday school, the teacher spoke the word of God to me, especially the story of Joseph, which I have talked about today, and of the young David, left a deep impression on me. Through those, I came to know that God is with me, and I came to know that this God became my God. I learned that there is much sin in human beings. I came to know that there was sin in myself as well. Yet I also came to know that God has given the way of salvation. The first grade year was a painful time for me, but it became irrepressible and a blessed time in which I experienced that God is alive and personally encountered Him. Children too experiencing suffering. However, that does not mean that we adults should easily make them escape from that hardship or encourage them to run away from it or try to solve it for them in their place. That is not necessarily the best way. The Lord, who loves His own, never gives up in pursuing them to the end. He refines us and shapes us because he desired that we live according to the plan by which we were created. That is because that is the children's true self in God's sight. Therefore, we should encourage the children so that, even in the midst of suffering, they may learn the will of God, Lord, and more forward, we should teach from the word what kind of meaning their suffering has, conveying them that God is with them and guiding them, and continue to pray together with them. And that third, that children may have God's dream and aspiration. In fact, the biblical story of Joseph is, I believe, a passage that is often misinterpreted with regard to the mother of dreams and goals. The title of today's sermon is Attempt Great Thing for God. This is taken from the word left William Carey, who devoted his whole life to mission work in India. More precisely, he said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Let us pray. Dear God, we face troubles, but let us breathe. The trial is your great plan, part of your great plan. We entrust children's future you prepared. Please use us. Please use me as your tool. And let us work for you. We believe you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's praise Lord again. Please stand up.